The Impact York, and today we are presented by our amazing friends at Impact Media. Appreciate it, guys. Reggie is on assignment for us up in New York. There was some developments up there that we want to cross check things for to bring them to your attention. We're not those type of media. We try to give you the right information, the correct information, and of course, Coach is busy as well. He's working on a piece for Super Bowl, and couldn't make it in. You know, we got inclement weather out this way, and I want to make sure everybody's safe. So, you know, want to make sure everybody's okay. But I'm here. I'm going to go over a lot of stuff. Of course, we're going to recap this past weekend's games. We're going to preview the AFC and NFC championship games coming up. News and notes around the league. A lot of fun things happen. Usually, you try not to break news before the Super Bowl or during the playoffs. But a lot of this needed to happen. And then, of course, in Falcons only, we've actually got a handful of stuff. We'll talk about the division a little bit and actually an update on a former Falcon. But without further ado, I believe we're going to get into, let's talk about those games. Why not? Let's start, of course, with the Kansas City Chiefs, who traveled to New England to face those Patriots. Now, I will just have to say that as far as our picks last week, one host went 4-0. I think one went 3-1, the other went 2-2. To take away most of the guessing, let's just go ahead and say that the host that is present on the show currently is the one who went undefeated, so you're welcome. But, like I said, Alex Smith and the Kansas City Chiefs, to me, they didn't play better than we expected. I'm not going to say I expect them to do this, but when you look at the talent on this team, you would imagine that they'd be able to put together some pretty good things. They were able to win, 10, 11, 12 games in a row, something like that. And really, the way they're built is kind of the way the Patriots are. A lot of short, intermediate passes on offense, move the ball slowly, really pound, take up clock time. New England likes the shorter passes as well, likes to establish the run game. I do know that Kansas City's defense is slightly better than New England, so you know we figured this was going to be kind of close, but it was only close once Kansas City made a game of it. Total score 27-20, New England. But I think we finally realized that you give Alex Smith stability, and he's no slouch. No slouch at all. Plus, Kansas City had a run game. Yeah, and let's think back to week, what was it, 4, 5, 6, I think it was 4, when Jamaal Charles went down for the season. Jamaal Charles, top 3 runner in the league when he's healthy. They have not played with Jamaal Charles since early in the season. And yet, Charkendrick West, just a handful of guys have just turned it up for them. And, of course, I will have to say that it was quite nice that the two most productive receivers for Kansas City at one point were Conley, who went to UGA, and, of course, I believe it's Albert Wilson, who went to Georgia State. Looked pretty good for those universities, didn't it? Seems like UGA is always sending good receivers to the league. Seems like Georgia State's about to. By far, Wilson and Conley were holding down more than their share of the fort. They were better than Macklin. Man, Macklin was banged up, but so what? It doesn't matter. Win's a win. Loss is a loss. Doesn't matter how it happened. But New England picks up the victory. You know, it really wasn't much of a that big of a run effort from New England. But you can't discount Brady. You can't discount Gronk. He's just a matchup nightmare. And the funniest tidbit of this whole game is the referees or the officials for this game left the kicking balls and air pressure gauges at the hotel. I don't know if they got them to the game before it started or if they did something else, but only with a New England game would something like that happen. But it didn't affect the outcome. They all played with the same stuff. New England, to me, stayed strong and showed that they could be the powerhouse in the AFC. We're going to see who they're facing here in a minute as we go over that game. But like I said before, and I think I said it on a Facebook post or something, I chose New England last week because I was like 2-8 betting against Brady in big games. So wasn't going to bet against him again, and he proved why. Now, of course, that moves us on to the next game, which, of course, was the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Denver Broncos. And I don't care what you say about Big Ben Roethlisberger. The guy just, he's probably a walking infirmary, but he was still the best quarterback in this game. The things he does with one shoulder or no shoulders or you know, probably torn labrum or who knows what it is. But, I mean, it's unreal how durable this guy is. And Tony Romo's the same way with Dallas. I feel like it's going to be to their detriment. There's probably 2 or 3 years that they would have played that they won't be able to now. But that is what it is. Pittsburgh come out guns blazing. They were keeping Denver quieted for a long time. Peyton Manning looked decent. He was being able to spread the ball a little bit, but you can't say that was a great performance by him. It was good, better than he has been. But then again, there's not much to measure that on, and his season so far hadn't been amazing. I do think this is his last season. I know I said it last year. I do think this is last season, but either way, Denver was able to pull it out 23-16, so to pull out the victory. And, this game was just a super cold slugfest. It seemed like every time somebody would get an advantage, something would happen, and it would shift the other way. Well, I have to say, I'm pretty sure Peyton Manning didn't turn the ball over. I don't have the actual figure in front of me, but I know he didn't throw an interception. Peyton actually looked pretty decent, and he's going to have to be on his game because, of course, that is going to line up New England going to Denver, Colorado to face the Broncos this weekend. Of course, that's the early game. That's Sunday at 3:05 on CBS nationally. Obviously, if you live in the New England or Denver areas, there's a good chance it'll be on local TV as well. CBS could be local for some of you guys. I know it is down here. Now to the NFC. We know what the AFC is. I'll talk about that game in a minute. The NFC. We're going to start with the Green Bay Packers, who traveled to University of Phoenix Stadium to take on the Arizona Cardinals. It seemed like, to me, Green Bay found a way to counteract Carson Palmer's hot streak, and that is to speed him up, make him throw a little faster, make him make decisions a little faster, and his banged-up finger was starting to affect his throws a little bit. Now, the weird thing is Green Bay actually moved the ball and actually looked pretty good. Aaron Rodgers was still playing okay, but he had receivers who were actually catching. Imagine that. His number one target of the day was Jeff Janis. Yeah, that Jeff Janis, like the fourth or fifth receiver on the list. Randall Cobb was non-existent. I think he got banged up later. But even when he was healthy, he was a doorstop. And then it was Aberdash. I can't think of the guy's name. Aberration is whatever. The other guy. That guy, I think he was signed in the last week or so, maybe. And those two guys caught everything thrown their way. They may have had one or two drops between them, but if I'm Green Bay going forward, I got to look and see that if Jeff Janis and the other guy are going to have those kinds of plays, I got to consider keeping them around as opposed to maybe Randall Cobb, who could be good trade bait, or James Jones, who I think he just signed for 1 year anyway. Now that Jordy Nelson's back, I think Jordy Nelson's one. I'd put Jeff Janis two, and for the life of me, I don't know that name. Do you guys know? No, I'm getting blank stares from the other side too. If I can find it real quick, I'll let you guys know. But yeah, this game was a lot of fun. Because it went to overtime. There was a coin flip. And, do we actually have it now? Do we actually have this guy's name? Aberdaris. Janis and Aberdaris, and then Richard Rodgers had a handful of catches, too. But Janis, 7 catches, 145 yards, 2 touchdowns. But Aberdaris, man, he was in it. But this thing goes to overtime. Of course, Green Bay gets the coin flip. And Arizona wins the coin toss. But not so fast. The coin actually did not actually make a revolution, did not twist, did not turn anything. It stayed straight up and stayed. So Green Bay said something about it. The referee decided to reflip because he said it didn't flip. All right, fair enough. So he flips it again with the same call. Arizona wins again. They say, give us the ball. Now, before I get into their efforts, if you look at the NFL rulebook, which I realize is about as clear as mud, as far as trying to understand some of the things, we won't even get into what's a catch and what's not a catch because that's just dumb in general. When you look at it, it is a coin toss is the name of that event. It's not a coin flip. And the rule never states that it has to actually turn at all. You can flip it and it not turn at all, and it, you know, if heads is already on top and you flip it and it never turns and head stays on top, technically, that's just as valid as if you flipped it and it went 1,000 times before it landed on something. But he decided to reflip. That was his call at that point. I believe Dean Blandino defended it, saying that was his call. Ended up working out in the same favor. So, on to the drive, which was 3 plays, 85 yards. And the crazy thing was is, the two biggest plays involved Carson Palmer to Larry Fitzgerald. First, it was a broken play. Fitzgerald was all alone about 7 or 8 yards off the line of scrimmage. He hits him with the pass. Fitzgerald goes 75 yards down to the 10. Then I believe they tried a run play, and then on the very next play, they did a rollout to the right. But as they did a rollout, Larry Fitzgerald was flying in from the left side, and he ran up the middle as though he was a running back. Carson Palmer did a shuffle pass to him, and he was able to run it straight in the end zone. Absolutely awesome play. If it's going to be anybody make a play for Arizona, Fitzgerald had to be it. And, you know, the guy's only played for like 10 years, and I mean, he's already borderline Hall of Fame now. If he had 2 or 3 good more years, why wouldn't Larry Fitzgerald be in there? But either way, like I said, in overtime, of course, you don't have to kick the extra point or anything. And since they had the first possession and since they scored the touchdown, Arizona wins 26-20. Green Bay fans and a handful of the players complained about the overtime rules. How come it's only the losing team that has a problem with the rules? You guys know what they are, whether you like them or whether you don't. I don't think they're going to change them. You don't need to go to college rules because college overtimes take way too long. To me, it should just be sudden death. You get the ball and you score first, you win. That's what it should be to me. Like I said, they're not going to change this. Congratulations to the Arizona Cardinals. Now to see who they're going to face, right? They were either going to go to Carolina this weekend or they were going to stay home and invite the Seahawks, the division rivals, in. Well, depending on which half you want to talk about in the Seattle at Carolina game, if you talk about the first half, how about the fact that Carolina hung 31 points on Seattle? Russell Wilson looked discombobulated, chicken with his head cut off. Literally, he looked pedestrian. Then in the second half, the Carolina Panthers, that played in the first half, I believe, stayed in the locker room and allowed their stunt doubles to come in and play the second half as they thought a 31-point lead would hold up. Well, it just so happens that the Seattle Seahawks come out in the second half and put up 24 points. Carolina is able to eke out that victory 31-24. Of course, like I said, that means Arizona will be traveling to Carolina this weekend. That's the late Sunday game, 6:40 on Fox. And, of course, if you're in the Arizona or Carolina areas, you will more than likely get that on local as well. As far as the game, like I said, in the first half, it's like Carolina could do no wrong. Luke Kuechly had a pick six from about the 14-yard line off Russell Wilson. Probably one of the goofiest decisions I've ever seen Russell Wilson make. He hadn't made that many of them either. I'm not a big fan of his, but you got to respect his body of work. They were doing this without Marshawn Lynch, who suddenly didn't play. I would imagine probably his last year in Seattle anyway. Seattle and Pete Carroll in general are some of the best halftime adjustment people there are. I said this the whole time. I even said to the people I was watching the game with, I said, I don't know that Seattle can score 31 points and a half. To which a friend of mine watching the game said, well, if Carolina scored 31, why couldn't Seattle? Valid point. And they almost did. But they weren't able to pull out the victory. Seattle still had one of the best three-year runs probably in the history of the league. You win a Super Bowl, you lose the Super Bowl off the last play or so, and then you make it two wins shy of being in the Super Bowl again. Can't hang your hat or can't hang your head in shame or anything for Seattle. Been a hell of a run. Now everybody sees what happens when you have to pay a lot of your stars as they emerge. You got to keep the core. They've kept the right core. They've just had a revolving door to other positions, and they got to figure some of them out. But Seattle will probably be right back there next year. Them and Arizona proved, by far, they're two of the bigger ones to look out for. Of course, like I said, that set up New England at Denver and Arizona at Carolina. I do have Coach and Reggie's picks, and after we go through some news and notes, we'll get right on that. But for now, we're going to go to a break. On the other side of the break, we'll do the news and notes, and then, like I said, we'll do picks, and we'll hit Falcon Zone. But you listen to Jeremy the Impact York on Blog Talk Radio for the End Zone Falcon Zone Super Pro Football Show. We'll see you after the break.
Jeremy the Impact York from End Zone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business.
And we're back here on Blog Talk Radio for the End Zone Falcon Zone Super Pro Football Show. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Welcome back to the show. Of course, like I said, we're going to do some news and notes. I'll give you the picks and talk about the two games coming up. And then we'll jump in Falcons Zone because I know you guys are waiting to hear some of the things we're going to talk about. We got some good stuff. News and notes around the league. The Titans have named Mike Mularkey, who was the interim coach most of last year, new head coach. A lot of fans wanted them to go outside the organization, but hey, hopefully Mike gets a fair shake. The two other places he's been interim slash head coach, it lasted a year or less, and he was just the lame duck until somebody else came in. As far as this goes, they had some big names out there they probably could have lured. So I think they're giving Mike a chance because he worked pretty well with the team. Next thing we want to talk, good luck to Mike on that. I think he'll do pretty good. I actually like Mike Mularkey. I feel like he's a good guy. He runs a pretty tight ship, and I think the players are going to like him. So. Chris Mortensen, otherwise known as Mort, played in the league for many years, ESPN analyst now, and NFL insider, said the other day that he's going to take some time off because he had stage 4 throat cancer. And, we hope and pray, and our thoughts and prayers are with you, Mort. I hope you get better very, very soon. And, that's got to be scary, not just because it's cancer, but throat cancer, and that it's stage 4. So, at least that's what I heard, that it was stage 4. But, he makes a living off his voice, so, we hope he gets better real soon, full recovery, and look forward to seeing him back on the sidelines, back on the broadcast, and, we're going to all say Mort Strong here for you. The Los Angeles update. Well, the easiest update is the Rams officially changed their name, logo, and soon to be home to the Los Angeles Rams. They're officially going. We're not sure yet. San Diego is the next best team to go. It's been left open for them to be the second one. But Stan Kroenke has made sure that he had all the advantage here in moving the Rams there, and I think they're going to do quite well. I think they've already sold, what did they say? They've already sold like 4,500 or something like that, season tickets or something like that in 48 hours. I mean, I got to echo Ross Tucker here, and isn't there like 4-5 million people in the greater LA area, and you just sold like 4,500? Really thought it'd be a lot more than that. But not saying the Raiders couldn't sneak in here as the number 2 team. But it will be one or the other. My guess is that it could be any of the other teams as well. There's a couple that could swoop in and take this. I don't know who those particular could be. But at the same time, I feel like there's going to be a second team there, maybe within the next 3 to 4 years. Cleveland wide receiver Josh Gordon has applied for reinstatement to the league. He was suspended. I don't know if it's for the calendar year or if he was suspended indefinitely after his latest arrest. His latest, substance issue. Haven't heard anything from the league yet. They've been a little busy between the L.A. thing and the playoffs. But I figure Goodell will get to this sometime soon. And I feel like Josh Gordon will be given one more shot to come back if he can show that he can behave himself and solve or at least contain his substance issues. Then he should be back in the league. And we'll see what Hugh Jackson, the new head coach, has in store for him. And if that actually helps Manziel or not. Feel like Manziel's out, but that's a different story, a different day. Antoine Randle-L was quoted as saying if he could do it again, he wouldn't play football again. Now, this sounds pretty crazy because he was never on a injury list because of anything head-related, let alone a concussion, and he didn't miss that many games. We had an interview with Dan Patrick in the last few days that I heard this morning. he basically says, you know, he would consider another path, but at the same time, it's football. You know the risks. You know the things going into it. That I think he was misquoted as far as this stuff, and he said, you know, maybe he would take a different path, but when he looks back at his career, he doesn't. There's not one particular thing that would say, gosh, don't do that. Like I said, I think he was misquoted on it. And, you know, he wished the best with Antoine Randle-El. He says, you know, he's had some memory issues and sometimes balance issues, but also it's part of getting older, and he did, you know, your body gets beat up a good bit playing this game. Wish the best to him as well. Hope there's no lingering effects, even though it seems to be a lot of them are. Supposedly, I don't know if this is the organization or if this is the fans or the local ticket masters or whatever. Somebody in Denver, the fans or something, are trying to keep Patriots fans from buying tickets to this weekend's game. They're trying to say that you cannot buy tickets, I guess, from the box office if you don't have a mailing address from the surrounding area, which includes Nebraska, all the, you know, the whole surrounding Colorado area there. This seems to happen, you know, this happened a couple years ago in Tampa with a hockey game. It happens a handful of other places. I don't think this is the way to go on this. I don't know if the NFL can step in to do anything, but do you really want to make an enemy out of the Patriots? For one, you're just putting a bigger chip on Brady's shoulders, which usually carries over the rest of the team, and this thing could be over at halftime. And also, at some point, Denver, you're going to need something from New England. Maybe you're playing a home game in New England. Maybe you're trying to pull off a trade to help yourself out. Well, if you make an enemy of them, they're going to be a lot less likely to try to help you out. So let's not be two-year-olds and let's share our animal crackers, all right? It's just animal crackers. These are just tickets to games. I have no idea why you would want to turn away people who are trying to give you money. I have no idea why you'd want to do that. So, you know, let's grow up and let somebody else have a swing on the tire, all right? Great. Last thing I wanted to get to, and this is actually really cool. Not that the rest of it wasn't, but this is what I wanted to end with, besides an announcement here in a minute. And that's that the Buffalo Bills have hired the first full-time female coach, and that is Catherine Smith. Now, Catherine Smith will be the Bills Quality Control Special Teams Coach. She will work closely as far as the special teams, and she'll be watching tape and just an extra set of eyes and ears to help do things. Of course, this comes on the heels of last year, the Arizona Cardinals hiring Jen Welter as a training camp assistant coach for the linebackers. Catherine Smith here, actually works. Let's see, she was a player personnel assistant with the Jets for 7 years. Of course, that's where she met Rex Ryan. She was his administrative assistant last year with the Bills. And Rex actually said that he consulted with Cardinals coach Bruce Arians since he was the first one to hire Jen. And, you know, he seemed like the way sports things are going that, you know, if you're qualified to do the job, it shouldn't matter if you're male, female, alien, whatever. He didn't say alien, but, you know, that's what I'm saying. You know, Greg Popovich in the NBA with the San Antonio Spurs has Becky Hammon as an assistant. It'd probably be only a matter of time before she's the head coach. I mean, if you're qualified, what should it matter? And, of course, like I said, I think this is great. This is the NFL getting past the good old boy system that a lot of local and state governments are slowly getting over as well. Very happy that Catherine Smith got this job. I think it's just the tipping of the iceberg of a good handful more. And, you know, kudos to Rex Ryan for stepping out there and getting and, you know, promoting her to that position. But last thing I want to talk about, the Atlanta Mission 5K is coming up. Of course, I ran it last year for the first time. First thing I'd ever done like that. I ran it with the APL Falcoholics tailgate group, of course, that call in here a lot of times, Mark and Chris and Dre and all the great people with that. And this benefits the homelessness in Atlanta in that it gives them, it gives those that are unfortunately homeless, whether they're dealt a bad hand or, you know, things happen all the time, gives them a place they can stay at least for a couple nights, if not longer, and try to get back on their feet. It gives them meals and certain things like that. All the information's up at the Impact 99. I posted a thing on Twitter about it yesterday. Of course, you can catch it on my Facebook, Jeremy York. And if you have any questions, 3endzone@gmail.com. And I'll answer as many as you can. If you can donate even time, effort, money, just want to say a prayer for these people. That I know they appreciate it, especially as much as I'm in and around Atlanta and in and around the Dome. I've gotten a chance to talk to a lot of people that have just, you know, like I said, been dealt bad hands. You know, life's like a big, like a big poker game. You're not always going to get great hands. You're not always going to get bad hands. You just got to keep that chip in the chair mentality and stay in the game. And we're hoping through fundraising through this 5K race, which is coming up in about 30 days or so, about a month from now, that, you know, we'll try to have some of the race people on, maybe some of the race officials we've reached out to. Maybe we'll have some of them on, talk about the whole thing. But, you know, like I said, time, effort, money, just a prayer in their general direction. Try to get them back on their feet. And, you know, appreciate everything you guys, you know, have done before. And we look forward to what we can do now. But, of course, like I said, we're about to go into Falcon Zone, so we'll see you guys on the other side of the break. Talk some Atlanta Falcons.
Jeremy, the Impact York from Endzone here. Would you or your business like to advertise with Endzone? It's easier than you think. With many packages available, we've got the perfect deal to help you promote your business to a whole new audience. All you have to do is contact us at 3endzone@gmail.com for more info and to get started today. Let us help you grow your business.
And, of course, we are here for Falcon Zone. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. We're going to have some fun stuff today. Of course, like I said, we're going to talk about some stuff around the division. We talked about Carolina a good bit. Since I forgot to do it in End Zone, I'm going to start off, before we get into Falcon stuff, I'm going to get into our picks for the week. Now, since I went 4-0 last week, I will start with mine. Of course, first game, New England at Denver. 3:05 start on Sunday on CBS, like I said. I think we're just going to give our picks. We'll give our breakdown of those next week as far as what we thought was going to happen, what actually happened. But I've actually got New England in this one. I'm not going to bet against Brady again. When I asked Reggie about the game, he also said, make sure I got him around here somewhere. Well, when I asked Coach, I know he took New England as well. Reggie's going to make it. Hey.
It's funny because it's true.
Yep, homer pick. We're all taking New England. Now, on to the second game. We got the Arizona Cardinals at the Carolina Panthers. Well, two of us agree, and the other one went against his beliefs. So, I chose the Arizona Cardinals. I feel like they are a slightly better team. I think this is the coin flip game by far. I think the New England is going to be a blowout. This is going to be a coin flip. I'm going to take Carson Palmer and Larry Fitzgerald because I feel like they deserve a ring a little more than Cam does, and I feel like Carolina can make this run. They'll be back in the next couple years. Arizona, I think they'll be good, but I don't know if they'll ever get to this level without moving on from a couple players. Coach agrees with me. He went Arizona as well. We actually tied on the same picks there. And Reggie could have made it another homer pick, but he didn't. He went against his own convictions and chose the Carolina Panthers. So, to recap, we all have New England. Me and Coach have Arizona, and Reggie's going Carolina. I think he's going to get some good matchups. Now on to some Falcons stuff, right? Well, let's talk about the division first. Like I said, we just talked about Carolina and all the things going on with that. You guys have heard enough Carolina. New Orleans has hired Dan Campbell. Yep, Dan Campbell, who is the former tight ends coach and former interim head coach of the Miami Dolphins, and then was unceremoniously dumped like an old plant in the office by the team. Wasn't really talked about, but they didn't want him as a head coach. He's now been hired by the New Orleans Saints as the assistant head coach / tight ends coach. Now, if Sean Payton were to move on in the next year or so, you already got somebody else with some head coaching experience there. So, I mean, that might be an easy transition. Who knows? But kudos to Dan Campbell for moving on to a team that appreciates him. And, hey, look forward to seeing him on the sideline. I like Dan Campbell. I liked him when he played. He's a good dude, and I think he's only going to make their coaching staff better. Plus, the tight ends are going to be phenomenal. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers named offensive coordinator Dirk Cutter as their new head coach. We may have talked about it a little bit last week, but this is why they fired Lovie Smith, was because they didn't want to lose Dirk Cutter, who was going to be a head coach in the league somewhere. Dirk Cutter needed to hire a defensive coordinator on his staff, so he hired Mike Smith, who, if I'm not mistaken, he worked under here in Atlanta. So Dirk Cutter and Mike Smith back together and back running a team. I think, Lovie Smith to me is a great defensive mind, but having Cutter and Smith back together, Mike Smith, of course, is going to make Tampa Bay a force within the next couple years. I know Matt Ridgway's out there listening, and Matt, I'm not just making that up. I'm not blowing smoke. I feel like Dirk Cutter can do a lot with Jameis Winston, and I feel like Mike Smith's going to fix the defense if they let him. Now, let's talk about some Atlanta Falcon news. I read a story the other day about why Vic Beasley chose the number 44. He did choose it for a reason. It wasn't just random. And he says he chose 44 because nobody else had it, and he wanted to make his own legacy. There's a lot of famous numbers out there, 52 and maybe 48 and all those. And, a lot of different ones. People know 4 is Brett Favre. Peyton Manning likes 18. Those are quarterbacks, but a lot, 92. There's a lot of big ones, the bigger name players who are known for certain numbers. Well, there's not many famous 44s, so Big Beasley decided to take that one. Hey, let's hope the big fella can do something about that. Speaking of him, Mel Kiper, draft expert for ESPN, says that the Falcons may take former teammate of Vic Beasley, Cleveland defensive end Kevin Dodd, at the 17th pick. I think that's a pretty good pick. You would be taking a good pass rusher, and you already have the good linebacker / defensive end in Beasley, and they know each other, so Beasley can help Kevin catch on to the system a little better, and they already know each other, so they, if you stack them on the same side or opposite sides, they know how to play together as a team. I don't think that's a bad pick. In a lot of the mocks I've seen, they've got Kevin Dodd going at 17 to the Falcons, so if they stay in that pick, then sure, let's take the guy. We got to see him in the national title game. He had a pretty good game. Why not? We may be onto something when taking these Cleveland pass rushers. These Clemson pass rushers. I think I said Cleveland a while ago. Clemson, of course. As far as draft talk, to me, they need to address the offensive line, because I would keep Jake and Schrader and Jake probably not really scrap the rest, but I would look for a little bit more stability out of the other three positions. Obviously, they need to address the pass rush situation and get linebackers that fit the scheme. They had to use the ones they had and re-sign some of the other ones just to have enough bodies on the field, and they were able to develop some of them. But you need to find linebackers that fit the Dan Quinn scheme, and I think that'll help the pass rush. Devin Hester actually Instagrammed, I guess when you post something on Instagram, you Instagram it. He Instagrammed that he had toe surgery and that he looks forward to coming back being better than ever. I think we'll have to see, A, if he has a spot on the team, and B, if he can come back bigger and better than ever. I think he's still got a little bit left in the tank. I know I've said before maybe they should move on, but he's got a little bit left in the tank, and it'd be nice to see him get out there and return to form the way he used to be. And, of course, last thing I want to get into, I told you, update on a former Falcon. I know this is one of Coach's more talked-about guys, and that would be Dominique Davis, who was Ryan's backup for a handful of years. Coach felt like they didn't quite know what they had in him, so they cut him. Didn't they trade him? I think they traded him, and then he got cut. But update on him. I actually ran across it because I'm interviewing one of his former teammates. And he now plays in Canada. He is the backup for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. So if you want to see Dominique Davis play, watch some CFL action. I've been watching CFL all season. I believe they're obviously done now. They had the Grey Cup a couple weeks ago. But, you know, keep your eyes peeled for Canada. There's been a handful of people signed here recently by the NFL from the Canadian Football League. They've got a lot of talent up there. It's not just another league up there. It's an actual, you know, true blue professional league. But that's going to do it for me this week. Appreciate you guys tuning in to the End Zone Falcon Zone Super Pro Football Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. We're presented by Impact Media. I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Go Falcons. We'll see you guys next week.